Welcome to Midpoint. I'm Sean Canaan. I'm the host of Midpoint Monday. Today, my guests will tell you about efforts by environmentalists to oppose a waste processing facility on public lands in Sarasota County near a preserve known as the Celery Fields. And I want to know if you've visited there or what your thoughts are on this issue. So give us a call. The number is 813-239-9663. You can email your question or comment to dj@wmnf.org. You can text us at 813-433-0885, or you can watch this conversation on Facebook Live, facebook.com/WMNF News. But first, here are some comments left by listeners after our last two shows. The first one was about a speech by Frederick Douglass and an inflammatory ad by the NRA. And the second is about music and interview special featuring Pink Floyd founder Roger Waters. Here are two listener comments.
Good morning, Sean. My name's Tony. I'm calling out of Tampa. The speech for Frederick Douglass was beautiful. I mean, it was so beautiful. But speaking on the NRA, it's really, really disturbing, the ad and everything. My question is to your callers, when they said the fist, I want to know, because they're actually advocating violence. They're talking about killing people. And my question is, who are they talking about raising that fist to, and who are they talking about killing? Because where I'm concerned, anybody that don't go along with the way that they feel and the way things should be the way they have it, then they're the enemy. And personally, I think they're trying to start a race war. Have a good day. God bless you. Thank you.
Hey, Stephen, it's St. Pete. I was just listening to the show in the interview with Roger Waters. But what I get from listening to this record, just the theme of it, is just he accuses God for the problems of mankind. Blame man, not God. And that's my point. And he just sounds very angry. And when the point got brought up when he was talking in the interview about Gordon Gekko from Wall Street, that character in the Oliver Stone movie, and he was talking about greed and the world and war and so on. I don't see Roger Waters doing any free concerts lately, do you? And the guy's worth $350 million. And most of that profit, I would say 99% of it, is made off of Pink Floyd royalties and doing the Wall concert like he's doing tonight in Tampa. So those are just my views, my opinions of being a Christian man and believing in the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior. And I don't expect everybody in the world to believe in it because the majority of the world rejects it. That's okay.
Well, those are two listeners commenting about our last two shows. Both of those shows are on our website, wmnf.org/news, if you want to go back and listen. Later on in the broadcast, I'll give out the number for you to leave a brief voicemail. You can always listen to previous shows and comment on the stories on our website, or you can join the conversation on Twitter or Facebook at WMNF News. Well, let's turn to today's topic. I have two guests in the studio. Luigi Verracci is with Stand Up Fight Back SRQ, and that stands for Sarasota, for people who aren't familiar with that abbreviation. And Adrian Lucas is a citizen activist in Sarasota, and they're trying to stop a proposed waste processing facility on lands in Sarasota County near a preserve known as the Celery Fields. So welcome to WMNF's Midpoint, Adrian and Luigi.
Thank you for the opportunity.
Thank you.
Well, thanks so much for joining us. Let's just talk first about what's at stake here. Adrian, why don't you tell us, what are the Celery Fields, where are they, and why are they important to you?
The Celery Fields is considered a utility by the government of Sarasota. So it serves a function, which we can discuss later. Secondly, it is a recreational area for birders and exercising. So it has dual roles.
There's an observation mound there, and we talked a little bit beforehand, but why don't we get a little bit of history about the Celery Fields? They started out agriculture and then were converted into these public lands. What's the history of it?
With development, the flooding that was occurring with the new neighborhoods was problematic, so the county bought the lands from I believe it was Fancy Farms. The quad properties that are the properties that we will be talking about in this hour were also bought during that purchase. Then the stormwater facility was developed. Along with the stormwater facility, they decided that it would make a great recreational area since the birds started showing up. The birds probably were showing up for thousands of years anyway. So that's a brief little history.
So there's water, there's retention ponds that were artificially created on the property.
Yes.
And when they were dredged, they formed a mound as well, and that acts as an observation mound that the birders use.
Yes, there were about 20 million plus. We actually think it was closer to 30 million. It's hard to get accurate county data that supplies us with all of the information. So a ton of money was spent to create these ponds. And what the ponds do, they actually work as our county's Great Breda water filtration system, filtering sediment and still chemicals and agricultural pesticides that still exist in those lands, and also pesticides that are used in the developments further up Palmer in the new home developments. They also prevent that from getting into Philippi Creek, which then filters into Roberts Bay that ultimately goes into our Gulf.
And Philippi Creek was the original, one of the original reasons to try to clean up this site, is because there was pollution that was happening because of the agricultural runoff into
yes.
the creek. And so that's one of the reasons they wanted to convert it to clean up the site. And so there's some agricultural land underneath it that may have some chemicals from the agriculture.
Oh, undoubtedly.
But on top of the site was clean dirt. The county added.
Well, the county added clean dirt. Otherwise, I think we'd probably have a big cancer cluster for all of the people who are running up and down the hill and their dogs that are being walked there. So that was done as a precaution. And they should also consider doing that with the quad properties that are the surplus lands that the county is trying to sell. We should probably add a big layer of topsoil on top of that as well.
And the property that's owned by the county and some of it that they're trying to sell, does that include the area where this waste management operation is proposed to go?
Yeah, the quad properties are adjacent to the celery fields. Those lands the county originally did not want to buy, but they had to buy them. It was part of the purchase for the stormwater facility. Those lands sat, let's say, vacant or just kind of forgotten about for many, many years. And in the 90s, that's when things started to unfold. No, well, early 2000s, things started to occur. But we finally got to the point where they were put up for bid. But they are completely, they are adjacent to our celery field. And one parcel in particular, the one that we will be talking about, the garbage dump, as I refer to, it's on, I think, probably the most important part of the quads. It is adjacent to a stormwater pond that we are very hopeful that will start to really be used by not shorebirds, but water birds and nesting there. And that is kind of where the headwaters of the Philippi Creek really do begin. So the fact that you're going to have an open air waste facility with particles of silica coming from concrete and other things, it just really isn't logical to place it there.
That's the voice of Adrienne Lucas. She's a citizen activist in Sarasota County, and we're talking about a proposed waste plants that might be going near the celery fields in Sarasota County. So here's some things that we've talked about that we should probably back up and cover in a little bit more detail. The silica dust, what does that come from, or what would that come from if this is proposed? Also, where is this? You mentioned Palmer, and so this is a little bit to the west of I-75, is that right? So tell us where it is and what's being proposed there.
Oh. East of I-75.
Yes.
Sorry, I apologize for
saying
that.
That's okay, you don't live there.
I-75. Near Palmer.
Yes. What does it propose as far as, it's a construction and debris recycling. So anything from asphalt to concrete to home demolition, they will not accept toxic, well, there are certain things that they won't accept. Asbestos, they would not accept that. There are certain things that they won't, but they will accept a lot of things, and they will be stockpiling it overnight. Stockpiles of 35 feet, that's as high as they say they're going to get it. But we don't really know that because we don't know who's going to be observing this, who will be measuring this, how often will they really be moved out in a 24-hour period? What if the perfect storm occurs? There are power lines that supply the entire neighborhoods out there with power and the businesses the thought of a giant storm coming in and just completely annihilating one of his stockpiles as it crashes into, you know, an FPL power line is quite plausible. But it seems that no one in our county seems to want to think about worst case scenarios.
And the dust, it would be from crushing concrete,
yes,
or from, because it's recycling, it would be, you know, taking products and
yes,
recycling, which I guess involves a lot of smashing. And
yes, and Mr. Gabbert, who is the man who wants to open this facility, has indicated that it's 21st century, state-of-the-art concrete crusher machine that is perfectly enclosed. However, that does not address the people that will be delivering these giant chunks of concrete. And as they sit there overnight, you know, it's a very windy area. It's almost like a plane. And the cars that drive by on I-75, it's kind of almost like a valley and a plane. And it just, the wind is incredibly strong. So, you know, it's not going to be contained in the way that he claims that it is.
How close is the proposed facility to nearby homes?
Luigi?
My particular home is about 2,000 feet southeast of the southernmost tip of the celery fields. It's approximately 450 acres, the entire area known as the celery fields. It goes an additional mile south of the hill that Adrian was speaking of. There are homes less than 200 feet, 300 feet. From the hill area, there's also two schools involved in this area. We have Fruitville Elementary, which is west of 75, and then we also have Tatum Ridge, which is east of 75. This particular area where they want to do the development is almost in the center of these two schools. So between the two schools, we're talking about approximately 1,500 students in 6th, 7th, and 8th grade. Not all parents take their children to a bus stop. Many parents drive. So the addition of 100 to 125 more trucks with this proposed facility is going to greatly impact the ability of parents to get their children to and from school, and coupled with the possibility of all the accidents, because we're not talking about small pickup trucks or even dump trucks here. We're talking about larger 18-wheelers. And there's also a lot of 18-wheelers already out there. Most of the land around Palmer and Porter and Palmer and Apex to the north and south are zoned light industrial. But this particular facility is going to shadow all of the other industry out there. The one point I want to make, the quad area is four different parcels that are county surplus land. We're only talking right now about one of these parcels. There's three others. And what keeps happening here is the county keeps putting these four quads up for bid. Well, three of them. One has never been up, but we have to come in and do exactly what we're doing now to fight every time a developer wants to come in and propose something. We just defeated something called the Restaurant Depot on the northwest quadrant. So it's one of these issues where the county, for some reason, is bent out of shape on selling this land rather than preserving it, or at least opening it up to discussion through a citizens advisory board or commission, and let us citizens and community members talk about what's the proper use for this land. It surely is not 35-foot waste debris, crushing concrete facilities, and trucks going day and night. I was up there at sunrise yesterday with a photographer, and it was just so pristine and quiet. And that is going to be ruined, along with the contamination in the air of the dust particles. And we have experts that will testify on August 23rd, which is I call it the showdown, really. This is the showdown. This is it. We've been at this for over a year now, and this is the final vote. Yes, because when the county, when BOCC stands for Board of County Commission, when they vote, it becomes law. We just had this hearing with the planning board, which was quasi-judicial.
June 1st.
Yes, and they act in an advisory capacity only. They sent this project packing 7-0, no. And one of the main reasons they sent it packing was due to traffic issue. And usually the county cannot use traffic to deny a developer access to permits. But in this case, there were some exceptions. And Adrian probably knows more about this than me.
Well, I mean, for me, the sad thing is that our planning commission in 2015, when Mr. Gabbert bought 4 acres adjacent to the county surplus land that he's now trying to buy. So he's been parceling this land together, planning to put this recycling dump there since 2015. He initially bought these 4 acres as a waste transfer facility. And he had to get a special exemption for that, I believe. Or yes, he had a special exemption so he could put his waste transfer there. Now, the Planning Commission all voted in favor of that, knowing full well the amount of traffic that that was going to introduce. And the Board of County Commissioners approved that as well. So that waste transfer facility can go in on the 4 acres that he owns. So they've kind of ruined it in 2015. So here we are now, and we have a planning commission that unanimously voted no, and that is only because of the public outcry. That's the only reason, because they really didn't care. I really don't think they cared.
200 of us showed up at that meeting, and 75 of us spoke, and there was only one dissenting view that was for the plant, and that was a personal friend of Mr. Gabbert, and he happened to own the adjacent land, and he has been convicted of felonies for voter fraud in the past. That was the only person that came up and spoke against it.
Yeah.
Why don't we take a phone call? And there's lots more to talk about, but we do have people that want to call in. That was the voice of Luigi Verace, and we also heard from Adrian Lucas. And if you'd like to talk about the celery fields, have you been there? What do you think about it? What would you like to happen on the adjacent property? Why don't you give us a call at 813-239-9663 or email dj@wmnf.org or text 813-433-0885. We have Tony in Sarasota. Hi, Tony. You're on the air.
Hey. I just wanted to say I've lived in Sarasota all my life, was born in Sarasota Memorial Hospital, and I ran cross-country in high school. And anybody who's run cross-country in Sarasota knows the celery field of the mountain because of the giant hill there. And
Good training.
It's the only actual hill we have in Sarasota to run up, and it's a challenging course, and it's where the county meet is at.
Mm-hmm.
It's a lot of fun, and it'd be a sad thing to see that taken away from all the generation of runners to come. So that's all I wanted to say.
Thank you, Tony. I'm a runner myself.
I was actually
running out there yesterday in the celery fields, and I really encourage you and all your running friends and even beyond your running community to please come out on August 23rd to the county commission meeting, and prior to that to send the emails in and make the phone calls. And we will also have a rally on the property on August 19th, a community rally where we'll do some sign waving, and we'll have some little fun things to do for the kids, and we're going to educate the public, and we're going to get the media out there, and we're going to send Mr. Gabbert and Bo Medrick packing like we did the Restaurant Depot.
Let's do it.
All right,
I'll see you there.
Tony, thank you for the call. If you'd like to call in, it's 813-239-9663. Our guests are Adrian Lucas and Luigi Verace. And this is Midpoint. I'm Sean Canan, the host of Midpoint Monday on 88.5 FM WMNF Tampa. It's 12:25 in the afternoon. Let's continue with talking about the process that happened. So on June 1st, there was the Planning Commission that rejected the proposal on an advisory role.
7-0 unanimous.
And so now it comes back, as you guys have mentioned a few times, on August 23rd, there will be a meeting. You're holding some sort of rally before the meeting and then trying to pack the board. Tell people, where is this meeting and what time, and how can people get involved
The meeting will be August 23rd at 9 a.m. Unfortunately, it is in the morning when a lot of people have to work, but that's the way the county does their business. At 8 a.m. on the same day, August 23rd, an hour beforehand, similar to what we did at the planning board meeting, we will meet On Ringling.
At 1660 Ringling Boulevard.
Yes, 1660 Ringling Boulevard. That's where the county commissioners meet. That's where the planning board meets. And we'll have a little rally, and we'll go inside afterwards for the meeting. My group, Stand Up, Fight Back, will have a table outside of the county commissioner's building all day. We will have cold water. We will have snacks. We will have information. We'll provide shade, and we will provide the logistics for anybody coming and going to the meeting. It's going to be an all-day meeting. Last time we met at the planning board, it started at 4 o'clock. I didn't get home until 11:30 that night. We're looking to have over 100 people speak. And we're looking to hopefully have an additional 400 people coming and going all day long, not only in the chambers themselves, but there's two overflow rooms in the building. And then also, once those fill up, they have to allow people to stand in the hallways. So we're looking for the community to come out and support not only on the day of the meeting, the 23rd, but the rally on the property on August 19th. And all these Facebook event pages can be found on Stand Up Fight Back's SRQ's Facebook page.
And I'm going to put links to all that information on our website later on today as well.
Thank you.
And why don't we take a quick music break right now? You're listening to Adrian Lucas and Luigi Verace with, he's with Stand Up Fight Back, and Adrian is a citizen activist, and my name is Sean Canaan on Midpoint Monday. We'll come back to the phones. Joy in Sarasota will be the first person we put on the phone afterwards. In the meantime, why don't you call us 813-239-9663. We'll just take a quick music break. Welcome back to WMNF's Midpoint. My name is Sean Canaan. I'm the host of Midpoint Monday on 88.5 FM on WMNF.org. And we're also right now streaming live on Facebook.com/WMNF News. My guests are Adrian Lucas, a citizen activist in Sarasota County, and Luigi Verace. He's with Stand Up Fight Back SRQ, and they're trying to stop a proposed waste processing facility that's on some lands near, in Sarasota County, near a preserve that's known as the Celery Fields. And Adrian, let me ask you, the county you normally would put out an RFP, a request for proposal, if they want to sell lands and they want to get ideas for what the buyer would want to do on that.
Yes.
But in this case, my understanding is that the county instead used an ITN invitation.
Yes, quite different.
What is an ITN invitation, and how and why would that make a difference in this case?
That's an invitation to negotiate, and that's a really good point to bring up. An invitation to negotiate kind of narrows the playing field and makes, I think, well, for me, just going through the history of how this has happened, it's very clear that this appears to be a backroom deal. So an ITN makes it a much narrower playing field.
So is it a case where in a request for proposal, pretty much anyone can propose pretty much anything for the land, whereas the county would say, well, in this case, we just want some sort of waste recycling facility with knowing already that there's
it's been suggested.
And so that would presumably give someone who's already planning on building a waste processing facility there kind of a leg up to get a good proposal in. And maybe even if this person puts in a bid that's not very attractive compared to other what other people might propose for their... he would still have an advantage.
He would have an advantage. Yes, he would. He would have an advantage for many reasons. One, he may have a land use agent that used to work for the county who may know more, a little bit more about surplus lands and where they're located than someone who doesn't have that hobby. He may have an advantage in the fact that his brother-in-law is on the planning commission, even though his brother-in-law may have to recuse himself. He may have an advantage if he's a charter board on the charter board advisory for Sarasota. He may have way more advantages than the average person. So, yes, that's very interesting that you picked up on that.
So I'm guessing that you were talking in hypotheticals, but the things that you were talking about actually are true.
Oh, yes.
Those were not hypotheticals.
They're not hypotheticals.
We will clarify that. Those were concrete facts, and yeah. Adrian talks in tongues sometimes.
But they are absolutely irrefutable, and they're documented.
So the developer, his brother-in-law, you said, is on the planning commission that voted unanimously?
Well, he recused himself.
Okay.
So, you know, that was absolutely legal and acceptable. Mm-hmm. But the implication is, you know, that there could be pressure to be applied for certain decision-making. The fact that the planning commission voted unanimously against this was really, truly mind-blowing. None of us expected that.
Well, let's go to the phones. We've had Joy waiting patiently. So thank you for holding, Joy. What would you like to ask?
Hi. I just want to let you know that I am a second-generation Sarasota native. And once again, I am starting to see my city just deteriorate with the kind of backroom deals and the disregard for the environment that is ruining what was a beautiful place. If the board is so intent on destructing, then I think a really great use of that energy would be for them to really get behind removing the Brazilian pepper trees and the Australian pines and the exotics that don't belong here. And maybe if they were really feeling great about our city and county, they would have stop a grocery store in a wetland.
True.
I am Whole Foods.
Distraught. Yes, Whole Foods.
We are too, Joy.
The whole paycheck, you know, thing. But I have, for years, I mean, I started out at 13 years old working for the Youth Conservation Corps, building boardwalks in swamps and digging up trees because I love this county. And I am so sad to see that we're selling out, you know, because I guess it's a red county. So that's really pretty much it. And trust, I will call in work, and I will be there on the 23rd.
Thank you, Joy. Joy is speaking about a problem that is ongoing in the county. The list that Adrian ran off is not singular to this particular issue. Joy mentioned something about putting a grocery store on a wetland, and that was Whole Foods 2 years ago. They basically, to use a phrase, paved over paradise and put up a parking lot. Literally, they're building a Whole Foods where there was a wetland. And this all happened because the county commission approved this. They did some mitigation up in Manatee County, but we essentially lost that wetland in Sarasota County to a developer. And the county commission was responsible. I always use the word chicanery. It is not singular to the celery fields. It's an ongoing problem, and there is a history of it, and it has to stop.
Where is that wetlands that's going to be a grocery store? I've reported on it, but it was a long time ago. I can't remember.
That is on the corner of University and Honoré, and it is on the southwest quadrant of University and Honoré. They're going to open probably within 3 to 6 months, and it was a tragedy what they allowed to occur there.
So they've already taken down the trees.
Oh my
forth.
God! Yeah. I don't want to use the word rape, but I'm going to use it. They raped that land.
But they solved it with mitigation, which is just. We really need to retire mitigation completely.
Well, let's talk a little bit about mitigation, because not all of our listeners will know. But so mitigation is when you have wetlands, for example, that you want to develop, and the county or whoever will let you develop these wetlands, build put, you know, pave paradise and put a parking lot on these wetlands as long as you create wetlands somewhere else where there weren't. So, besides what
you just said. You spelled it out. Yeah,
I didn't mean to do that. It's
a ridiculous concept because a lot of times what you're mitigating or what the developer is mitigating is really a piece of crap land that really doesn't make it. I mean, once something's gone, it's gone. It's like me trying to mitigate, you know, what I looked like 20 years ago. I'm never getting it back. You know what I mean? It's just, it doesn't exist anymore. So it's just a stupid concept that that exists, that is absolutely, you know, twisted and wrung with every development I've seen in the state of Florida, period.
And Craig Pittman has written a lot about reclamation and reclaimed lands and so on, if you're interested in reading up on that. 813-239-9663 if you'd like to join this conversation. We have some people waiting on the line now, but we do have an open line. If you'd like to call in now, you can email us at dj@wmnf.org, or you can text us at 813-433-0885. Thanks to that call from Joy. Let's try Tom in Sarasota. Hi, Tom.
Yes, hi, Sean. Thank you for taking this call, and thank you for doing this show. This is such an interesting topic, and it deserves broader awareness, and you're giving it that, so thank you so much. I just wanted to make a couple of quick points that to supplement what Adrian and Luigi have been saying. One is, it may not be entirely clear to everyone that the land that this man wants to put the facility, the waste processing facility on, is public land. The county people own it, and the county has entered into an agreement to sell it to Mr. Gabbert if he can qualify to put his facility on there, so that he has to go through the rezoning. That's why we're going to be there on August 23rd. But the surprising or disturbing thing to me is not only is it public land, but when Gabbert came in to request this, the county planning department basically looked the other way. They never contacted the community around this public land. They never noticed that there is a huge tourist-oriented development going right to the north of it called the Fruitville Initiative that is going to bring lots of people into the county, portraying it as a modern, sophisticated, urbane place. Right to the south of that urbane place, this man wants to put a dump. It's so ludicrous that you would think some planner in the county might have pointed this out. Nobody did. This is, the facts speak for themselves. If you just present the facts, I don't think you have to really do any rhetorical twisting. It's really an amazing story just on its own terms.
Tom, thanks for those comments. So this development that Tom was talking about, is that still in the works? Is it still moving forward?
Oh, the Fruitville Initiative?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, it is. A funny segment to the Fruitville Initiative is Randy Benderson, who is a huge developer in Sarasota. I hear the Darth Vader theme every time I say his name. There were surplus lands that were adjacent to the celery fields, north of the celery fields. I would have had way more skin in this game had I been paying attention. I mean, I wrote a letter to the county, but I didn't understand the process. The county sold those surplus lands to Randy Benderson, and he initially was going to put in a trucking distribution center. That's when I learned about this. And everybody got involved and said, no, you cannot do this next to the celery fields. It will, you know, ruin the birding. And they managed to put that down. The county actually agreed with it, which was quite surprising. But Randy Benderson will be back, and he has just put in his new proposal, which will be adjacent to the celery fields. I do believe that the Fruitville Initiative group finds his new plan compatible. But what is sad about this is that we had owned those lands. The stakeholders of Sarasota owned those lands, and what it could have been. It could have been a contender. You know, you could have had an eco-tourism hotel that worked well in union with the celery fields. Instead, the county undersold that property. They gave it to him millions of dollars less than what it should have been sold, and he's still going to get to develop it. I mean, that's this is the type of lack of foresight or being pragmatic or, you know, seeing the future in a different way. Our county officials seem to really let the land agents, developers, dictate what's going to happen. And it's really 20th century planning.
There also seems to be a disconnect with the county commission with developments that occur out east versus what's going on west of I-75. It's just like they're sitting in these offices and these fancy rooms making decisions for all of us who live out there, and I never heard of them coming out to the property, or I never heard of them inviting the public to come to a meeting.
They didn't
to discuss this. They just did what they did, and I'm going to use the word chicanery once again, because there is a lot of things that occurred with not only this project and every other project that left the public literally in the dark. It's like a giant abyss, and they are down at the bottom of it. And it's disturbing. The land that Adrian was just speaking about is not involved in the four quads that we're talking about. This was another parcel that is adjacent to the Fruitville Library, just south of Fruitville and on Apex Road. And I really want to call attention to our road situations out there.
Yeah.
We have singular roads, one way each way. Very little room on the side. In fact, Porter, the one I take, is a death trap for bicycles. There's not even a bike path on it. And this construction facility that Gabbert wants to put in is partly going to be on Porter. We're going to have
and the road is built out. There is no plan to expand the width of these roads because there isn't any land to do so.
Exactly.
So
the county has admitted this by their own admission. We're not going to be able to make anything wider. Right now, we have hundreds of trucks out there every day anyway. There's 125 cottage industry businesses in the Packinghouse District. There's another 100-plus businesses in the light industrial areas. This creates a lot of traffic. We are maxed out there right now with traffic. If this occurs, I am going to give, say, 3 to 6 months before the first fatality happens. Because the other day, not the other day, it was about a month ago, 18-wheeler was coming east on Palmer, making the right-hand turn on the Porter. And little old me and my old Toyota, I'm sitting there, and the truck, one of the wheels went up on the sidewalk, and the truck bent over, and it scared the you-know-what out of me. So now when I'm at that intersection, I leave about 10 feet in front of me, in case I see a semi trying to make that corner, because one day a semi is going to fall over and someone's going to get killed.
This road is noted as part of the Great American Birding Trail. So we have tourists who come here specifically to bird here in the winters. They rent a car, it's a convertible. Oh, let's go birding, it's going to be great. And they're going to be stuck behind all of these, you know, diesel trucks. They're not going to return. It's going to ruin our beautiful tourism that's occurring organically and quickly for this area.
Well, that's the voice of Adrian Lucas. We also heard from Luigi Verace, and I'm going to take that as a little segue to talk. You know, we've talked about county business and so forth. I want to talk about birds for a second. What are some of the cool birds that you could see out there at the celery fields? I've seen some really cool pictures on Facebook.
Amazing.
Of people who go out to the celery fields and tag the celery fields when they're out there. And then, so I get to see these birds, but tell our listeners, what are some birds?
We have over, I believe, 220 species that have been documented by Audubon. There's an Audubon facility there. So if you have any questions, there's always very nice volunteers that can help you. You can usually find a volunteer at the Palmer gazebo, which is the pond that is closest to the Gabbert proposed dump. You can see caracara. Those are really unusual. You can see wood stork. You can see bald eagles. limpkins, purple martins, any warbler. When it is winter, that is by far the best time to come. They're, you know, they're just in full throttle. It's not too hot. You can see a wide range of them. I have run up that hill, and I've had a swallowtail kite fly with me. You know, Cooper's hawks. It's just, it is such a dazzling gem of birding. I can't even begin to tell you how I'm a bird nerd, and it is prime birding.
It's also a destination for school trips. Once school opens,
there's a lot of education.
Yes, there's always school buses out there, and they take the kids to the gazebos, and they show them around, you know, and it's just a nice place for kids to kind of like see a different side of Sarasota. I go back to the 450 acres every time here because we've really called this the Central Park of Sarasota. This is the biggest facility that the county owns.
And it's not really considered a park, and it is not designated a preserve. So these are things that when we're done with our August 23rd meeting, you know, I'm hoping that everybody will pull together. And we do have our what is only considered a public utility by our county designated a preserve and recognized for what it also does. So that'll be another fight, I'm sure.
Rather than spending all this, the county spending all this time appeasing developers and backroom deals and the chicanery, this energy should be put into what Adrian just spoke about and incorporating officially. We already know the four quads are part of the celery fields. By the county's own admission on literature that they hand out to tourists and post online. But when you get up in front of them, the developers say, no, it was never like that way. You activists just like to speak of it that way, but that's not true. We know that those quads are part of the celery fields. It's time for the county to make it official. It's time for the county to make a proclamation and an ordinance. Just like where I live, I have a tree ordinance. Adrian was at my house for the first time when she picked me up for this meeting.
I was blown away.
She was blown away because in my little development, I not only have the tree ordinance that protects me, but I have the canopy road ordinance. So county ordinances, we sometimes don't have to look at the black and white on paper. Sometimes you have to look at the intent. What was the intent of the canopy road ordinance? What was the intent of the tree ordinance? What was the intent of the water management area out there by the celery fields? Sometimes these lawyers get so technical and they fight everything. The intent, in my estimation, of all three of the things that I just spoke about boils down to three words: quality of life. And this is what we as Sarasota citizens want. We want our quality of life kept intact. We don't want it sold out to developers who have ungodly amounts of money. How much money does a human being need? I could go off on this for another hour. You need to live below your means if you want to suffice and be part of your community and respect your neighbor. These developers are not living below their means. They are living beyond their means, and they don't need this extra money. The citizens of Sarasota County don't need this in their way of our quality of life.
So am I hearing that you'd like a better, maybe a stronger designation for the celery fields, and also to include, to take the land that's kind of on the table for sale in the quad and make that as more protected as a natural area, and that's something that Sarasota County says that we want to keep these as public lands?
Yes, and I know that because I know we're going to win on August 23rd, that is when allies that have joined for this are probably going to begin to fracture. Everyone has different ideas about what they want these quad properties to be. I personally don't want anything developed. I want them to stay as is. But, you know, some people want a grocery store. Somebody wants a, you know, there are going to be fights about this land. So that's next year, I guess.
Well, our guests are Adrian Lucas and Luigi Verace, and it's 12:49 in the afternoon. You're listening to Midpoint Monday on 88.5 FM. We haven't gone to the phones in a while, so let's try. Let's go with, how about Ann in Sarasota? Hi, Ann.
Hi, this is Ann Cantor. I'm calling from Sarasota, Florida.
Hi, Ann.
Hi. I'm loving your program, I would also like you to give the particulars about the meeting for the August 23rd thing that's going to be going on. But I'm calling on behalf of the Big Cat Habitat and Gulf Coast Sanctuary, where I've worked for 14 years. And we are a fabulous tourist destination. We have over 150 animals at the Big Cat Habitat, including 50 large cats. And the facilities that they're talking about for developing this land is absolutely going to devastate both our tourism and the things that are going to get in the air. The pollutants are going to be very bad for our animals. We are also a destination for camps and schools in the winter and the summer. And it's just a bad idea all around. And I agree with the lady that's speaking. I tuned in late, so I don't know her name. But this is the Central Park of Sarasota. We need to keep it green and the way it is.
Yeah.
The big thank you for that call, Anne. The Big Cat Habitat that is adjacent to the celery fields, right?
It is. It is right.
A little bit down.
It is right. Well, if it is virtually right next door. If you go on the other side of Apex, there's one little kind of alternative looking round dome type house, and then it's the Big Cat Habitat. You can see it from the hill, and when you're up on the hill, you could hear all the animals in the big cat habitat. That is an integral part of what we call the East Palmer community. That facility that rescues animals, and the caller is absolutely right. If this facility happens, it is going to destroy not only the peace and ambience, but it's going to destroy the our ability to live without pollutants in the air.
Well, thank you for that call, Ann, and good luck to your group. And John in Sarasota, you're on the air. What would you like to say, John?
Hi, yeah. So I actually live right across the street from the Big Cat Habitat, so this is in my neighborhood too. And I've been in the construction industry for about 30 years, and I know the materials that go into these recyclings. Some of them are toxic. You take Chinese drywall, or you take a fiber mesh that they put into sidewalks and driveways, which is going to get pulverized and is going to become airborne at one point. These are the things that concern me. They're proposing an 8-foot fence, trying to contain a 35-foot mound.
Right.
Now, anyone who's been out there
ludicrous.
Knows that the winds do pick up, and with bird nesting and with people living nearby and these airborne particles flying around. This is not only a health issue. It's a it will affect our future, the future of the birds who are not stupid. They'll be coming in there, and if they're in an environment that is incompatible, they're going to leave. And all this tourism and all the $500,000 they put into this, making the park and making the Audubon Society will be of waste. So I'm concerned with it just on those minor points alone.
Those are not minor points. Those are huge points that you pointed out. the 8-foot wall that's going to be a beautiful abstract imprint on the cement out there is going to do nothing to obscure the stockpiling. Another funny thing is there's ordinance. It's called the I-75 corridor, and that was an ordinance that was created to help keep Sarasota looking a certain way. So as you're driving up I-75, Sarasota looks pretty, and you don't see things that are, kind of like, you don't want to see that. And yet they're more than happy to put this dump that anybody can see from I-75. That 8-foot fence is not going to obscure this dump at all. So
less than 1,000 feet.
Prevent any winds from carrying it in, and we
exactly.
know how that area does get windy. And,
right.
And as I give minor tours to friends up and down as we drive past it, I say, that's the celery fields, and if that were to be a giant eyesore right in front of it, nobody would even want to have any interest in going there.
Yeah, it's like putting a dump next to the Yellowstone and saying welcome. Exactly. It's just a bad planning.
It's a terrible idea. I mean, there's so many other locations that they could pick for this particular project that would not affect what is really a new addition to the Sarasota landscape, something that people are really getting behind.
Yeah.
They can put it somewhere else without really having as much effect and damage as this particular location would incur.
Well, John, thanks so much for your call. I appreciate it. And if you'd like to call in, 813-239-9663. I want to read a couple of emails and we'll go back to the phones. Jay is next on the line, so Jay, hang on tight. Jana writes, this is the wrong place for this facility. Our BOCC needs to realize this property cannot sustain this development without a huge negative impact on the celery fields, the neighborhoods, packing house businesses, district area, schools, and wildlife. Sarasota has an opportunity to showcase this ecotourism area. That's from Jana out there in cyberspace. And Glenna has a question from Sarasota. She says, seems like Bo Medred is a chief gunslinger. Why does this individual have so much power to change the face of Sarasota County? Is a question from Glenna.
Huh. Well, I think he could win prom king if, you know, we were having like a county prom king, prom queen off. He used to work for the county, and apparently he was well-liked, and he worked hard, and then he went into the private sector. And, you know, I mean, honestly, if I were a developer, I'd hire Bo. He's good. He gets it done, and he clearly knows the ins and outs of the county, so...
All right, well, let's try with Jay online. I mean, on the phone here. Jay, hi, where are you from?
And worked hard, and then...
Jay, turn down your radio, please, and we'll come back to you. Sam in Sarasota. Hi, Sam.
Hi, how are you doing?
Very good. What's on your mind?
I'm a longtime citizen of Sarasota County, been here for 62 years, born and raised here. I have given up totally on any environmental protection in this town or in the waterlands around it. If the place is a complete wasteland now, totally allowed every developer in the country to come in here, wipe out everything, all the true wetlands. That whole celery field area used to really be a wetland before it became farmland.
True.
So I hate to say it, but I've surrendered. I've given up. After Palmer Ranch, Lakewood Ranch, what I've seen on Siesta Key, it's just all devastating. We had paver pumping raw sewage into the bay for years and years and years. He got a minor fine of about $1 million when he didn't make it $8 million a year. It's just hopeless here.
Here's the only silver lining of if the dump does get approved is that Mr. Gabbert's mansion is in Roberts Bay. And I predict if this dump does occur in 10 years or sooner, the Philippi Creek is going to get jammed up again. And we are going to have a Stewart, Florida. And Mr. Robert is going to have a sea of green algae in front of his beautiful mansion in Roberts Bay. And his neighbors are going to be very angry about it. So that's the only silver lining that I have is in the event that his dump does get the green light is that he will get some eco karma at some point.
Well, what I'm afraid is that no matter what, as long as if somebody with big money is going to make more big money because of this dump, well, forget it. It's over. Move away.
This is why we need everyone to come out on August 23rd at 8 a.m. at 1660 Ringling Boulevard on August 23rd. It is imperative that the community show up. If the community did not show up at the planning board meeting last month, they would have possibly approved the project and gave a positive recommendation. So I implore everyone in Sarasota County to come down to the meeting on August 23rd.
Well, let's try to squeeze one more phone call in. Jay, you're driving. What would you like to ask quickly?
Hi, I live in the area and I frequent the area. I'm mostly concerned about the airborne particulates. I've been to places like the processing areas, and the amount of material that just comes out of it wouldn't be contained by a 100-foot fence.
Right.
The sensitivity of this place is well known. The county spent the money to make it a recreation area for the public. Now they're going to make it a cancer pit for everybody that lives there, essentially, because these materials are not compatible with humans in any way, shape, or form. And someone would suggest this without a feasibility study, even then, the cost of the feasibility study would be a complete and total loss because common sense rules here. This is not a place where you put those kind of materials. And in fact, they don't do an adequate job of containing the airborne particulates in any area where these things are done, much less a place that's got so much proximity to sun and fun. Look at the amount of people that are at that exchange right there across from the Texaco station. That's just a neighbor to this area. Then you have the entire place is surrounded by subdivisions that are upper middle class subdivisions. I mean, this is not a distressed area. These people need to absolutely get rid of the cranial rectumitis they have and move on.
Well, thanks for that call, Jay. I appreciate that.
Thank you, Jay.
So, Luigi, why don't you tell us about the protest on the 19th of August and then the meeting on the 23rd, if you can quickly do that before as we wrap up.
On August 19th, we are going to meet on the actual property that needs to be rezoned for this project to be incorporated along with the other parcels that were involved. We will meet there at 10 a.m. It is family and kid friendly. We will have snacks. We'll have cold water. We'll have... Mardi Gras beads for the kids. We'll have everything.
On the 23rd is the meeting, Wednesday the 23rd at 8, and 8 in the morning at 1660 Ringling Boulevard. That's all the time we have. Adrian and Luigi, thanks so much for joining
me on
Midpoint. I appreciate
it. Thank you for having us.
Adrian Lucas and Luigi Verace are with Stand Up Fight Back SRQ, and Adrian is a citizen activist, and they're trying to stop a proposed waste processing facility on public lands in Sarasota County near a preserve known as the Celery Fields. Thanks to everyone who called. Thanks to James Rossi, Frank Knox, and DT. My name is Sean Canan. I'm the host of WMNF News Midpoint Monday. Tomorrow at noon, your hero Mark Bureau will be in. Stay tuned now for Executive Session with Craig Kopp on WMNF.